Good morning. A reading from the book of Galatians. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son, the free woman, was born as a result of divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represented two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is a slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now, for what does the Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. For those who are visiting, my name's Paul. I'm the senior pastor here. It's a joy to worship with you on this beautiful Charleston morning. You're probably thinking, what have I gotten myself into? As you heard that scripture read, it's a bizarre scripture. We're going to dive into it. I'll even explain why we're diving into it in just a few minutes. But first, let's go to God with another quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. And in the oldest prayer of the church, we pray, come Holy Spirit, come, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me begin by asking everyone this question. Have you ever misunderstood an assignment? Have you ever misunderstood an assignment? The year was 2019, and our students were just returning from another brilliant week away, another brilliant camp up at Ridgecrest. Now, picture the scene with me, okay? It is a beautiful, dark, starry night just outside of Black Mountain, North Carolina. And atop a mountain, there sat approximately 36 students from one fellowship. Their hearts pumping, their minds racing, all around a fire, for they had just heard the good news of Jesus Christ all week. And in that moment, they were being invited to surrender their lives to Him. Now, with this picture in mind, imagine our fearless leader, Cody Quinn, who just gave our announcements, Pastor Cody standing, sharing a reflection on Jesus, and then challenging the students around that campfire to take a piece of paper, which they then hand it out, and to write the one thing that they covet most in life, the one thing they love most in life, even more than Jesus. And once they wrote their confession down, he invited them to throw that confession into the fire. Cody would go on to say this not only would symbolize their confession, but God's lasting forgiveness and his grace. Are you with me? So led by Sergio Marin, one of the counselors, one by one, the students wrote their confessions down and threw them into the fire. Some had an obsession or addiction to success in sports. If I can only be successful on the field or on the court, I'm worthy. And they wrote that confession down. They threw it in the fire. For others, it was this obsession with good grades, this obsession with perfectionism. If I can only get that SAT score, ACT score, that GPA, I'd be good. I'd be well in the eyes of the Lord. They wrote that confession down. They threw that in the fire. For others, they wrote down their bad boy or girl persona or pattern of living. You know, I'm this guy. I'm this gal. I look at this. I do this, etc. They threw out and threw down that jaded identity on a piece of paper and gave it to the Lord. When it was all said and done, Cody shared with me that hearts were cleansed, lives were transformed, and the hope of the gospel had taken root. Praise God. It's awesome. However, listen, I'm not sure everyone understood the assignment. Or shall I say it like this? I'm not sure everyone understood the depth of the assignment, because when our middle child, Blaze, came home from that particular camp, and he was sharing about his experiences at camp, including this last night around the campfire. He was young. He was naive. He was earnest. We said, Blaze, like, if you're comfortable, what did you throw into the fire? And he goes, Dad, I threw in my teddy bears. I threw in my love of teddy bears. And he was dead serious. Dead serious. It was so amazing and so, so sweet. You see, Blaze at that time collected teddy bears. I mean, he probably had 50 of them, thus his name, Huggy Bear. So if you ever see our giant named Blaze, say, what's up, Huggy Bear? Now, I don't have a picture from that particular evening, but I do have a picture from that particular week, and I'm going to stand for this. This is some sentimental stuff right here. If you're in this picture, raise a hand. Will, Rowan, are you in there? Who else? Coop, Rachel, are you in there? I think you're in there. You're somewhere. Let's leave it for a second more. You see that sweaty little guy in the very back with that serious look on his face? That's what used to be little Blaze. He's no longer little Blaze. He's big Blaze. What a sweet time in memory, right? Have you ever misunderstood an assignment? And the reason I pose this question this morning is because that's more or less what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is getting to right out of the gate in this bizarre passage. Writing to the Galatians, these young believers, we read this verse right out of the gate. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? Putting it more simply, he basically asked the Galatians, do you not understand the Bible? Thus, friends, today we're going to dive into the Bible in what many theologians consider the most complex passage of Galatians, and we're going to see one thread that's found from the beginning of Scripture to the very end, and it's this thread, God's promises. God's promises. From beginning to end, we're going to look at God's promises. And this leads us to our big idea for the morning we're going to unpack. Faith, friends, is the act of standing on God's promises despite our problems and pain. Faith is the act of standing on God's promises despite our problems and pain. So let's dive into God's word together. Point one, problems, problems, problems. We all, Jack, have problems. Our passage begins, tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh. But his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. These things are to be taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she's a slave with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. Let's stop here. what in the world, right? What in the world are we getting into today, Pastor? Slavery, barrenness, persecution. These are words we're going to read over and over again in this text. Listen, when I showed this text, this passage to my wife last week, she's my general editor here at One Fellowship for my sermons. When I showed her this passage, she laughed, like involuntarily laughed. And she goes, "You can't be serious. You're going to preach on this?" And yes, church, we're going to preach on this because as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? Are you with me? All scripture is God-breathed. And here at One Fellowship, we tend to preach through whole books of the Bible. And when we hit a hard text, we don't jump it. We actually dive into it, which is what we're going to do today. Still, listen, it's okay when you read scripture and you come across a shocking text to say, "This is shocking." It really is. One theologian describes today's text as explosive. Another says it's incendiary. The great reformer Martin Luther indicated these words, quote, "breathe Paul's own tears." So what is the apostle getting at here in our passage? Well, first, the apostle teaches that, Vicky, we all have problems. You have problems. I have problems. Butch has problems. And here's the deal. Even the father of our faith had problems. And to hammer this point home, the apostle Paul draws us into this really shameful story of Abraham's life. The story about Ishmael and Isaac. Here's what happened in those early days, in the early pages of scripture. In Genesis 12, God had promised to bless the world through this man, Abram. Remember that? Genesis 12, "Go from your country," God said, "your people, your father's household, to the land I'll show you. I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Cool, Pastor. I got it. I remember that. Well, as a side note, this is actually the passage from which Father Abraham is cited as being the father of the Jews. That's noteworthy. Well, if you fast forward a few chapters to Genesis 15, God doubles down on this problem to Abraham. When he takes a very old Abram outside in the middle of the night, shows him the stars and says, "Look up at the sky, count the stars, Abram, if indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be." Again, this would have been very powerful, not just in scope, but listen, guys, in the fact that Abram and his wife Sarah struggled with infertility. They struggled with barrenness. They couldn't have kids. So God had shared this powerful promise with Abram to bless this man and give him offspring, and had actually already blessed, by Genesis 15, blessed this family with great, great wealth, which we're not going to get into today. And so accordingly, Abram and Sarah, right, they fervently and prayerfully and patiently waited for God to come through. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Wrong. You see, sadly, just one chapter later in scripture, we read that Abram and Sarah took matters into their own hands. In Genesis 16, they devised a scheme to produce their own heir. Specifically, we read that these two decided it was best to have Abram sleep with Sarah's maidservant or slave. Her name being Hagar, given her youthfulness, her fertility. And so that's what they did. That's what we read. And Hagar became pregnant with a son. Now let me pause here and just say something that needs to be understood. Even though this practice was acceptable in the world of that time and age, it was never acceptable to God. It's never acceptable to God to have a man sleep with his slave to produce an heir. But that's what they did. They didn't wait on God. And immediately we see the consequences of their impatience. because they took matters into their own hands. Immediately, chaos and disorder ensued. Specifically in Genesis 16, we read that Sarah and Hagar, when Hagar became pregnant, they started to fight. Moreover, later we read that they had such disagreement and discord that Hagar and her son Ishmael, when he was born, were cast out. They were cast out into the wilderness by Abram and Sarah. And friends, it's heinous. It's embarrassing. It's shameful, this act by the father of our faith. Yet, friends, it's not surprising, is it? It's not surprising. As my old classmate from Wheaton, who's now a theologian, puts it, human initiative will only get us human results. Human initiative will only get us human results, meaning when we take matters into our own hands, when we force things, manipulate things, hyper-pressurize things, twist things to fit our timelines, our agendas, we're going to get twisted results. Chaos will ensue. Disintegration will result. And to use some modern vernacular, relationships will get jacked up. The family will get jacked up. We know this, don't we? We've lived it. We've seen it in the lives of those around us. Bringing this into the room, let's be real. We want intimacy, some of us. So instead of waiting on the Lord to provide, we give our lives away. We even give our bodies away to an unworthy man or an unworthy woman. We jump the process. We jump ahead of God. Or we want a family. We desperately want a family. So instead of waiting on God, we settle for a certain man or woman who doesn't share our values, our pursuit of the Lord. We throw patience and wisdom to the wind. Or we want this job or that career, right? And so instead of waiting for God to open the door, we fib here or we tell a little lie there just to get our name in the ring. Or I came across this just this past week. Students, we want that grade. We need that grade. We need that score. And so we compromise our integrity. Why or how? By cheating. We believe the end justifies the means. Have any of you ever fallen into this trap before? Listen, guys, we all do this. We all have problems. You have problems. I have problems. And yes, the father of our faith, Abraham, had problems. And this is what Paul, right out of the gate, wants us to see. The Apostle Paul wants us to see we all have problems, and that natural man-made strategies will always result in natural man-made results riddled with problems. And that's how Ishmael came into the world. Listen, did God love Ishmael and Hagar? He did. Just read ahead to Genesis 22. But the bigger point is God had another son in mind, a son of the promise, when he made the promises in Genesis 12 and 15. So point one, we all have problems. Recognize them, own them, and understand what happens when we jump the gun and take matters into our own hands instead of waiting on the Lord to provide. All right, point two. I'm going to get soft here. I'm going to get a little vulnerable. We all have pain. We all have pain. All right, do we have any people in here that instead of listening to specific playlists in their car, they just put on a certain genre of radio or Pandora or Spotify? Anyone do that? Yeah. I think that's the older people in the room, let's be honest. My kids think I'm hilarious for doing this because they create specific playlists that they like to listen to. Anyone do that? Anyone listen to specific playlists? Yeah. All the young, cool people? Yeah. Well, I'm the genre guy. I'm not alone. And you might say my genre is singer, songwriter, soul. Singer, songwriter, soul. Okay? Well, the other week I was listening to singer, songwriter, soul in my Silverado driving somewhere, and the song came on and it hit me in the heart. The lyrics hit me in the heart. It was so emotive. It was so emotive that I actually pulled over my truck to Google whatever song this was. And it's a song called Love Me Anyway. Love Me Anyway. And I'd like to read the lyrics for you from the song this morning. Even if you see my scars, even if I break your heart, if we're a million miles apart, do you think you'd walk away? If I get lost in all the noise, even if I lose my voice, flirt with all the other boys, what would you say? Could you love me anyway? Is it for better or for worse? Or am I just your good time girl? Can you still hold me when it hurts? Or would you walk away? Even if I scandalize you, cut you down, and criticize you, tell a million lies about you, what would you say? Could you love me anyway? Could you still love me? Could you pick up the pieces of me? Could you still love me? Could you love me anyway? Could you watch me? Excuse me, could you not watch me? Could you catch me when I fall? Could you, and we rise above it all? Could you, will you hold me when it hurts? I can't stay here in the world. Could you? And that's how the song ends. Oh, my heart. I was on the side of the road just bawling as I listened to this song, Love Me Anyway. And it's kind of embarrassing to say who it's by. It's by this artist named Pink. And why was it on my radio station? Well, because it was co-sung by Chris Stapleton. And Stapleton's on my playlist or on my genre list with Alan Stone, Ray LaMontagne. Drew has his hand in his face right now. He's so embarrassed for us. Here's the deal. I don't think I could name any other Pink song, but this song hit me in the chest with its honesty and vulnerability, right? Certain songs, they're just like that. It's like you can feel the artist's aches and pains and desperation and even her depravity. Again, some lyrics are just like that, which brings us back to our text. There's this very odd verse, verse 27, right in the middle of our text, and it reads this way. For it's written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child, shout for joy, cry aloud. You who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. What? Isolation, desolation, suffering, joy. These are the words of the barren woman in the ancient Near Eastern culture, ancient Israel. Allow me to flesh this out for you, okay? When a woman's worth fully revolved around her ability to reproduce, especially reproduce a male offspring, which was the case in biblical times, the women who could not reproduce were generally considered failures, sometimes sinners, and often looked at suspiciously. They were treated as outcasts. Was this fair? Absolutely not. But was it real? You bet it was. And it was horrible. Now, returning to Abraham and Sarah, this was Sarah's lot for most of her life. Look, it's easy for us to read the book of Genesis and say, Abraham and Sarah, they blew it. They blew it. But just think of all the pain, shame, and pressure that that particular person, that woman, would have lived with for years before she blew it. Sarah's existence, her body, her very identity revolved around her fertility. In one fellowship, time and time and time again, her womb came up empty, came up dry. And she must have carried tremendous guilt and pain for years, not being able to conceive. Barrenness had to lead to so much brokenness. Bringing this into the room, perhaps you can relate. Perhaps as you sit here today, you too are carrying the aches and the pains and the loneliness of barrenness or some other deep, harsh struggle. Could you still love me? Could you pick up the pieces of me. Could you still love me? Could you love me anyway? And here's the answer God gives to the Galatians and to us. Yes. Yes. Yes, I still love you. Pick up the pieces of you. I still love you anyway. I still love you anyway. And this, friends, is found at the heart. This message is found at the heart of our passage. No, I'm not just being sentimental. Track with me. I'm not minimizing the problems of Sarah or Pink or even our own problems, but I'm also not minimizing the pain. And this is what God's word is meant to illuminate in our hearts and in the room today, that his grace and his faithfulness always shine through to the very end. As a quick historical summary, listen, first, again, in our text, the Apostle Paul highlights that following the problems, this problematic pregnancy with Hagar, God still came through and gave Abraham and Sarah a child, his name Isaac. Thus, this illuminates how God is forgiving and kind and always so faithful. Our suffering is never lost on him. Next, zeroing in on this bizarre verse, verse 27, about the barren woman. What if I told you that verse actually had nothing to do with Sarah? What if I told you it actually had to do with the nation of Israel suffering during Babylonian captivity? It was actually written some 1,200 years after the life of Abraham and Sarah to the Israelites, and it's taken from Isaiah 54, which Paul's quoting here. What if I told you this verse specifically speaks to a nation's fear of annihilation and barrenness? That, one fellowship, is what verse 27 is about. In other words, Paul writes that God not only saw Sarah in her pain and barrenness, he saw a whole nation in their pain and barrenness. And guess what? Guess how he came through for both parties? He provided miraculous offspring. One more very important historical marker. Fast forward some 600 years after Babylonian captivity to Paul's day and age. And what do we discover? Not to a barren woman, but to a virgin girl, God shows up, shares a divine promise, and what happens? Jesus. 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 The point is this: God's always faithful to his people and his promises. He's always faithful. His promises cut right through our problems in pain. God sees us. He knows us. He loves us. He forgives us. He provides for us. He guides us through his bigger redemptive story. Do you see it here in our text? God always comes through for his kids. Therefore, whatever you're facing today, whatever you even walked in with today, your problems, your pains, your aches, God still loves you anyway. God loves you anyway. This leads us to point three. Stand on the promises of God. Now, you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It's the same now. But what scriptures say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. What's he getting at here? Well, let me just ask, have you ever been bullied? Have you ever been bullied in life? It stinks. According to a modern dictionary, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, a bully is one who is habitually cruel, insulting, or threatening to others who are weaker, smaller, or in some way vulnerable. And guess what? The Galatians were being bullied by an outside group called the Judaizers. We've talked about this extensively through our series in Galatians. They were being bullied. Specifically, these Jewish Christians were demanding that these newbie Gentile Christians become Jews first in order to become Christians. Thus, they must get circumcised, adhere to the dietary restrictions in the law of Moses, and adhere to certain holy days. And they were even pulling the trump card that we are actually the true sons and daughters of Abraham. And Paul says, not true. Not true at all. Paul, a former leading Jew himself, through our passage makes clear that our security and sonship is not based on our effort or works, but God's promises. Let me repeat that. Paul, through our text, makes clear that our security, Buffy, your security, David, your security in Jesus is not based on your works, but his promises. Paul writes, again, in summary, Paul writes that Abraham and Sarah did what? They jacked things up. God still loved them anyway. The two dealt with years and years of pain and barrenness. God still loved them anyway. The nation of Israel went off the rails time and time and time again. God still loved them anyway. And friends, we're destined to mess things up. Life will throw some major curveballs, cause a lot of scars, and God will still love us anyway. And this is the thread that we see Paul weaving here in Galatians 4. God will still love you anyway. Now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. Thus, our place with Jesus is not earned, deserved, or preserved by our own works. It all flows from God's amazing faithfulness, his grace, and these promises. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the gospel. According to the promise. This, friends, is the gospel. This is the ultimate trump card. Therefore, in our world, in your own heads, in our own church, or in the crazy times in which we live, if anyone comes to you demanding you do better, try harder, be something more, you can say, like Isaac, I'm a child of the promise. I'm a child of the promise, and that means I am fully, totally, completely secure. Friends, this is the good news of Galatians, and this is the gospel. Got it? I'm going to pivot. I had one other song that I read from at the 9 a.m., but we're about to sing a song during our response time, during the table, lyrically, that's just so gorgeous. And so this is the invitation and application I'd like you to take with you as we close this time. It's from Be Still My Soul. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. In you I rest, in you I find my hope. In you I trust, you never let me go. I place my life within your hands alone. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. One fellowship, faith is the act of standing on God's promises despite our problems and pain. Let's do that together today and in the coming days. Amen. Please pray with me.